Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
I'm going to argue today for the importance of how we think. I'm not going to argue that that's the only thing that is important, but how we think is the starting point for everything else. So how we think forms how we see the world and ourselves in it, and then how we see the world then forms and shapes our desires and our loves. And our loves and our desires form what we do. So you see, it's all a starting point. We all live with a basic set of assumptions, and we acquire them through information, formation, experience, these types of things. And through those basic assumptions, we form, in some ways, we evaluate things, people, events. We prioritize what's important to us. People, things, experiences. And through that prioritization, we're often quick to dismiss things that we deem through our worldview not important. Sometimes our way of thinking changes. This is actually quite natural and good most of the time, where what I prioritize and value now is quite a bit different than my prioritization of values in high school, per se. And high schoolers could say, yeah, your values and experiences, perspectives, worldview is much different than it was when you were in elementary school. But other times, sometimes our way of thinking needs to change. And we become aware of this when our desires and our loves, based on our worldview, are frustrating because they are not satisfied. This is essentially what St. Paul is speaking to in the second reading today in his letter to the Ephesians. Now, they're actually not doing a too bad of a job. Most of the letter to the Ephesians is quite affirming. They're a thriving Christian community, but it's more of a warning against the danger of acquiring the wrong worldview or mindset. And I'm going to reread some of the things you heard. He writes, "I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." It's not how you learned Christ, assuming that you heard him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life corrupted through deceitful desires and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, putting on the new self. Isn't that interesting? He's telling them, make sure your mind is correct. That you're not in the futility of your minds like the Gentiles. Why are their minds futile? Because their desires are leading them to be frustrated. They're deceitful desires, he calls them. It's a similar, more than a warning, to St. Paul when he writes to the Romans, when he says, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Now, he's writing to the Christians in Rome in that letter, and they're in a different circumstance. Those Romans are presumably letting the world form their mind. In what ways? We could guess that, first of all, the Roman Empire was quite interested in political power, so maybe they see the world through the political dynamics primarily, or maybe the legal system was so precise and exacting that they let that spill into the way they see their Christian faith. But even think about that famous phrase of how the Roman emperors would operate through bread and circuses, right? So they would wield their political influence and power over the people by feeding their bellies and providing entertainment. And that can seep into the mindset of Christians too. All of a sudden, they begin to live just for food and maybe some entertainment. So that warning to not live with that futility of their minds, to be renewed in the spirit of their minds. So I think here in the 21st century, it's probably helpful to ponder, how is the world living with the futility of their minds? And that's a broad generalization, but I think we can make some observations of how some people have an incorrect worldview. Some people see their lives and the world around them through that lens of professional achievement. That is a key for them to understand everything, or maybe it's just comfort, status, pleasure, popularity among their friends and neighbors, power and influence, entertainment, bread and circuses. And this is one pause to say, are we letting the world's worldview imbue our own? Do I actually sit back and think, you know, as long as I've got plenty of food on the table, get my belly full, and I've got something on television or on my phone, it's a pretty good life? Well, I'm begging you, have a renewal of your minds. Let's have a clear worldview from which we can form our desires and our loves. I am convinced that there are two primary elements of how a Catholic Christian must always see the world. The first is a biblical worldview. And while this is quite an encompassing topic, but the idea is that I need to see the world and my life through a scriptural lens, which means I need to know some scripture. And again, that's part of seeing the world correctly. I need to know the sacred scriptures. But ultimately, when we look at sacred scriptures, especially the Old Testament, we see a loving God who loves the world, who creates the world out of love, and yet out of rebellion, we're subject to sin and death and division. We can see all throughout the Old Testament, what is the Lord concerned with? We hear things like begging his chosen people for fidelity, for faithfulness, for allegiance, for trust, for surrender, for repentance. These are the things the Lord is concerned about in the sacred scriptures. So that must form our worldview of how we see ourselves and the world around us. Fidelity, trust, surrender, repentance. And then, of course, the pinnacle of creation is found in the incarnation. the taking on of human flesh in the second person of the Trinity in Jesus Christ. And of course, the pinnacle of that is his self-offering on the cross and his resurrection and the founding of the church. That's the pivot of all of human history. That's how I see the world, through that rescue project of Christ who's come to save me in and through his church. So we Catholic Christians must have a biblical worldview. And the second part is very related. We must have the mind of having a sacramental worldview. So we kind of, hopefully, as Catholics, kind of know the basics of what it means for a sacrament. We have the seven sacraments where God takes very ordinary things and uses them for his supernatural purposes. He uses things of this world to bestow his divine grace. And if that's true in the seven sacraments, it's true in the sacramentals where we have these physical items in our home or all throughout our life that are blessed that actually bestow divine grace in our lives. It's true of everything. This is how I see the world, God operating through the ordinary and everyday events of my life. The very nitty-gritty of life, that's where God is active and operating. And of course, that's all true because God, the second person of the Trinity, took on things of this world in the person of Christ. So we see the confluence of the biblical worldview and the sacramental worldview in the person of Christ. So he is the formator of our worldview. And of course, both of those converge here on this altar where he becomes truly present under the guise of bread and wine, his flesh and blood, which represents that saving event on Calvary. This is where we adopt the worldview, here at the Mass. That's why it's so essential, because otherwise the world will form our minds more than Christ. So I guess that's a task this week, is to ponder in your prayer. Is this how I see the world? Do I have the right mind of Christ through that biblical and sacramental vision? But unfortunately, that's not the end, because I said it's important to have the right mind, but that's not the only thing that's important. I'm reminded of, I keep referencing the National Eucharistic Congress a few weeks ago, and that great talk by Father Mike Schmitz on Thursday night of the Congress. So many of you heard it either live or watched it on YouTube. You should. His point was, a lot of us Catholics actually do know a lot of stuff. We can tell some stories from the Old Testament, even from the New Testament. But for some of us, it's not that we don't know, it's that we don't care. We don't do anything about it. And there's the threshold. The first step is I need to have the right worldview. Then I must let that worldview form my heart, reorder my desires and my loves. And that does take repentance and a change of heart. So that's the next step. Do I let the Lord and his mindset form my way of desiring things of this world? If my worldview is just the here and now, bread and circuses, I will not think of the eternal. And then my desires will not be for the eternal. So that's the problem in the gospel today. Just last week, we heard the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus multiplies the fishes and the loaves. He feeds their bellies. A good God cares about that. But then he goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. People follow him, and he knows, you're only following because you want to fill your bellies. All your worldview is involved in is here and now. I am begging you, see me as the Son of God. Believe in me and my words. Long desire for the bread that leads to eternal life. Broaden your worldview to include this eternal life with God. The next 3 weeks are the continuation of John chapter 6 for the Sunday gospel. And at least here at St. Louis de Montfort, you're going to hear homilies for the next 3 weeks on the Eucharist, because it's here through the scriptures and through what happens on that altar where we adopt the right worldview. And so I repeat to all of you, brothers and sisters, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your minds. That's not how you learned Christ, because truth is in Jesus. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds.